In an ever-digitizing world, one podcast strives to decrypt all the answers. Welcome to the Virtual Team Heroes Podcast, your number one source for digital skills, discussing digital collaboration, leadership, mindset, and personal growth, inspiring and helping you in your journey in the digital era, one episode at a time. And now, here's your host, Nadine Soyer.
Welcome to another episode in the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. And today I have a guest far away from Australia, Andrew Pope. He is an expert on digital collaboration and smart digital collaboration. And that will also be our topic we talk about today, how you can be smarter in your digital collaboration. Andrew, I really appreciate you found the time for this interview and that we managed the time zone between us. Please introduce yourself so that our listeners get to know you.
Okay. Hi, Nadine. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, I'm in my, as you say, it's around smarter digital working. I'm generally focusing on the sort of the collaboration and team working element. I used to be an environmental scientist once upon a time, and I used to be on the sort of working on projects at the receiving end of the sort of the digital workplace. And I think maybe it was the frustrations of hierarchical working and lack of collaboration and lack of access to knowledge and people that maybe motivated me to find a different path. So I've been doing this sort of thing for maybe sort of around 8 to 9 years now, working for myself for the last sort of 5 or 6, largely in the sort of government, private sector across all industries. Generally, it's the sort of the interface of people and the technology and the sort of the frustrations of just maybe not understanding the best tools and the best practices to really work better together and to be more visible and just smarter in how we work.
Okay, thanks. When we speak about smart working, I think everybody has a different concept in their mind. What do you understand by smart working regarding the digital workplace, and why we should think about this concept and why it's beneficial for companies and people?
Well, I think there's two sides to it. One is that we have the technology to enable us to work smarter. You know, I think since the pandemic, we've kind of accepted that this technology is now part and parcel of how we work. However, the other thing is how we actually apply the technology. And the issue is that we haven't, in many cases, changed our habits. So we're still working in ways that we used to work, perhaps when we were largely in the office. And, you know, we haven't reflected that the technology has improved and changed, and also how we work has changed. And smart working is really embracing this, but also changing our habits so that we are perhaps not just reliant on Teams meetings for getting our work done, coordinating our activities. There are other ways to coordinate our work together.
I think people try to transfer the concept we are used from the office to the digital workplace, and that won't work.
Absolutely. Yeah. In every way. So not just meetings, but in the, you know, the 9 to 5, you know, that 9 to 5 is fine if that's where you need to be. But if you don't, you know, that's not smart working. You know, my hours that I like to work are probably different to your hours. And, you know, it's smart working is acknowledging our own sort of personal needs, but also, you know, how we can work better. You know, we might be having calls with people later. We might, you know, it gives us more flexibility. I think the other thing that sort of jumped out recently was that there were some findings from the 4-day working week trials in that were done in the UK, Ireland, and the US. And it just kind of made me realize that we can work smarter, because all that really happened there was that we found ways to cut down on unnecessary stuff to do our workload in 4 days, and actually productivity went up. So, you know, it's very possible, but it's we just need to rethink and, you know, sort of change a lot of our habits and our practices.
I think when you narrow the work week to 4 days, you're forced to have more focus work.
Yes.
Or think about where can I have more focus, and don't waste any time in unnecessary meetings and unnecessary things. So yeah, you're more productive because you really narrow down and you have to focus on your work and say, okay, absolutely, where do we need meetings and where do we have the work done? Yeah.
Yeah.
And not absolutely having another day for offshore fixes or meetings on a Friday morning or on a Friday.
Exactly. And that's a really good point. And smarter working does require having focus time in your working day, and whether that is, you know, using the technology to do it for us. You know, we can use in Microsoft, Viva Insights can help us to plan focus time. It can give us a focus plan. We can do it ourselves. It's just part of it is understanding it's important. Part of it is actually agreeing as a team, like, yeah, we should do this. You know, we shouldn't be always on. We should be able to step away and actually get our work done. So a big part of it is just taking that step back and just, you know, talking about what do we do and, you know, how have we got to where we are? And are there some things that we can change? Because otherwise we just incrementally build on and add more structures and more things to our working day. And it's, you know, it comes to a breaking point where, you know, this is where you start to get digital burnout because we're adding too much and we're not taking anything away.
Yeah. And how can you work smarter? What are the most important strategies, or what do you consult your clients, or what do you do with clients when you say, oh, Andrew, we hire you to get smarter in our digital workplace?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, the starting point is just trying to find out why they want to improve, you know, trying to get some basics of, like, I mean, the why is so important. Like, if we can't clarify and agree that, then it's hard to sort of move forward and align new ways of work. So I'll do a little bit of sort of problem solving and looking at sort of some of the issues. And a lot of it is just very, very simple, that people are just a little bit confused by the amount of technology and what's the best tool and what are the best practices to adopt. But we also, you know, help to find, if it's more at a strategic level, like, what, how can we align this with maybe some goals of the team, the department, the organization. The main thing is really to take a step back. It's just like, let's just get away from everything that we've just been working on and how we've always worked. And so it's a rethinking process. And it's really looking at changing habits. So, you know, we'll go through a bit of a journey around what are some of the practices and helping find some new practices that will replace a lot of the old ones. So, for example, and this is quite common, the big issue is we're getting swamped by notifications, and it's hard to manage that. And, you know, maybe we feel that we need to respond, we need to be available, we need to be always on. However, a lot of this is actually down to our own working practices. A lot of people like working in, say, for example, chat. Now, chat is great, but chat is incredibly distracting. And, you know, there's a lot of research around that we're processing, you know, dozens of chat messages a day. That then takes a lot of attention away from the task. You know, then we've got to go back to the task. Things like that is trying to understand what are the bad habits that we're doing, and maybe finding that perhaps chat does have a place, but perhaps it's not something that we should do regularly. Perhaps we should use a different way of collaborating as a team that is less intrusive. And it's just trying to understand, you know, how do we work, and maybe, you know, what are some of the things that can be done a little better. And we've probably, you know, most people have got the tools to do this. It's just trying to understand which is the best one for which thing. So if it's urgent, maybe there's a different way. Maybe if it's just, you know, routine things, do we have to have a meeting? Perhaps the routine thing could be, you know, a thread in a Teams channel where we can just respond in a bigger window of time.
Yeah, I think you need a lot of team guidelines how to collaborate. I think when you use chat, most people think chat, I have to answer immediately. But maybe your answer is not needed today. Maybe it's okay to answer tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then just setting priorities also on chat. Yeah.
Yes.
Having some guidelines that when it's very high priority, you have a call or say it in the chat, and otherwise no, it's not needed today. So it's not an interruption for you. So maybe you need team guidelines, how to use the tools. You get plenty of tools in your workplace. And I think most people think the more tools they have, the more productive they are. I think it's the opposite way.
Absolutely. Streamlining is a big part of it. It really is trying to concentrate down on, like, you know, two or three sort of standard tools that work effectively. I mean, it can be more nuanced, particularly if you're needing to involve people outside of the team, but
I love the idea of a team or doing a team journey with a team, saying, okay, these are our processes. For this task, we have to work together synchronous way, or these tasks we can do asynchronously to really have more focus time. Asynchronous focus time, yeah. So, but you really break it down to your processes, and this is not black or white. You can't say we do everything asynchronously or we do everything synchronously, because it's not black and white. Every team is different, and but you need a sort of team journey, yeah, in your processes. Yeah. And
yeah, exactly that. It's helping them a lot. Of what I really do is help provide a toolkit to enable people to make these decisions themselves, so I can help them inform and sort of take them through this journey. But it's not up to me to tell people what to do. It's up to them to pick the ways they want. And it's, it's down to what do we, it could be, what do we actually want to be in the office for? What's important that we go into the office? What should be a live Teams meeting? For example, if we're onboarding people, is that important that we meet them, or is it important that we have a face-to-face live meeting with them? What types of meetings should be asynchronous? Maybe what sort of work can we move into asynchronous formats? And even simple things. Do we have our camera on or off during a meeting? And in the early days, it was all like camera should be on, but also now, it's not necessarily quite so black and white, because if you're having too many meetings, camera on all the time is perhaps not so healthy. But it's perhaps also understanding, well, what's the expectation? Do we expect people to have their camera on or not? And unless we sit down and really agree these things, we it's complicated, and we can end up using, as you said, lots of tools, but also not being particularly well aligned on culture. Office culture is sort of formed organically when you're in the office. When you're not in the office, these rituals that form culture can be very hard to understand, and it's really important to define them, that maybe there are some things that do need to be articulated.
Yeah. Or another example, you also can prepare when you have meetings synchronously or synchronous meetings, you can also prepare them asynchronously.
Yes.
I mean, I really have calls to prepare a meeting
Yes.
So I think, okay, that's really unnecessary. Or I have, recently I had a call. Oh, Nadine, I would like to introduce you to somebody. Now I'm off. Please talk to each other. So that would be an email. Nadine, this is person ABC. So, have a meeting together, or you would like to introduce. So just think about unnecessary and necessary things. Yeah. And I think the more complex tasks are, the more synchronously they should be done.
Yes.
And the more uncomplex, you can prepare or focus on your own work.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like an example, what are we trying to do in a meeting? Are we trying to solve a problem or create something? If that's the case, then that does involve a conversation. We want people to talk and contribute and develop something. Are we just going around the table and everyone sharing what they're doing? That's not a conversation. That's just, everyone's broadcasting something. That doesn't have to be in a live meeting. And it's just trying to understand, what do we actually want to achieve? And, a conversation is a powerful thing. Like a good meeting is a really powerful thing. But at the same token, a meeting where everyone's giving an update, let's say there's 10 people, each person speaking for 5 minutes, that means that out of that time, you're going to see 90 minutes of time is not really potentially interesting for you. And quite a lot of time wasted sitting there waiting for everyone to finish. And these things are, I think, can be done a lot smarter.
Yeah. And when you come to tools, what tools do you need? I know you work a lot with Office 365. Can you describe your favorite setup or some collaboration hacks?
Yeah. I mean, I try to not take people down a particularly tightly defined path. I like the people I'm working with to kind of figure out what is the best for them. And, some people, if you have a group that always works in email, perhaps that's okay that they carry on working email. If that works for them, that works for them. That's great. I'm happy. But I think the problem is when there are, we are using email and we're using chat and we're having meetings and maybe we're in something else. I find that putting more things into Teams channels is the smart way forward. So trying to encourage these conversations that you might have with colleagues one-on-one, put them in a channel that the whole team can see. They might not necessarily be involved, but they're there. And then if we need to bring other people into the conversation, it's easier because you have the context. You might have some files associated with the conversation in channels. And again, in each channel, you can have, you know, other things there. There might be a, you know, OneNote page where, you know, there's draft content is created that's lined up. So it's about sort of putting things, you know, where it's maybe a simpler way where everything can be in one place. And Teams channels can do that. But I think that at the moment, there's not really a kind of lack of clarity as to why you'd use a channel over, say, chat. And I think, an area where there's a massive opportunity because, you know, I've seen a lot of research that says this will save time. You know, it saves time by having to go into different tools. It saves time by being able to access the conversations quickly. It has to be done right. You know, it's not a case of just rolling out Teams and having channels everywhere and you being a member of like 500 channels, because that's just going to be carnage. But if you know why you're in a channel and it's people you work with in a sort of day-to-day basis and it's around stuff that you do, then it makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's interesting what you're saying. I know some teams, they only use chats. And yeah, when you log in their Office 365, you have 100 of chats.
Yeah,
sharing files, sharing important links. And they share important links in every team meeting. So why not have a channel for one topic?
Yeah, exactly.
And have a good structure. Yeah, it's all, I think for me, it's, or for teams, it's all about structure. You need a structure of your topics. Okay, this topic A, this is topic B, this is topic C. We have different channels for each topics. And also structure the channel down to sub-channels, what you need, but not too many. And also know a team that tried to transfer the business processes to channels, and they had 50 channels then.
It's
also not a good structure.
Yeah.
So it's really also smart working is having a smart structure in a digital workplace,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But no, I'm glad that you're also on the sort of the channels bandwagon. I think they are powerful. I mean, this sort of work, I mean, it's the challenges is at two levels. You've got like people in teams, you know, how can they best work within a channel? How can you help coach team leaders to make channels safe and productive? And you know, what are the habits they need to do to make a channel a place of work? Because if your team leader's not there, you know, a channel is going to be fairly useless. And then you've got the senior leaders and communications people who maybe think that they need to be in channels as well. And then that's where it becomes more confusing, because then there's notifications coming from all these other teams and channels that maybe aren't part of your core work. And you know, it's there's a bit of an education process around what's the impact of this. You know, if we do just kind of throw everything into this, what's the impact? And it's trying to understand, well, actually, yeah, we need to be smart. You know, channels, as you say, are for the tasks, the deliverables, the things we do. And maybe this is where Viva Engage comes in if you want to start, you know, getting more sort of communications and processes across.
Okay. Thanks. So I have a last question. There's a question I always ask in podcasts as a last question to sum it up. What are your three tips and takeaways for companies to work in a smarter way?
Yeah.
These are my three hacks. So and you get a bit smarter.
Well, yeah. I mean, the top one, it's not the technology. It really isn't. It's about finding ways to just reduce stress and to improve the well-being of how we work. And it's actually, as the 4-day week trials have shown, we can do it. We can save time. It's just really a case of understanding that we need to prioritize and protect focus time. That's really important. And there's a lot of things that we can remove or replace. You know, is that meeting really necessary? What's the impact if we don't have this meeting? I think that's one thing. The other thing is that we need to be as visible as possible. And this is maybe a little bit of a new thing for some people to learn, where perhaps we've been used to digitally working in our own little computer space where we have our own files and we do our own stuff and no one else can really see it. And we feel safe that way. And there's a bit of a trust thing that we trust the workplace, that no one's there. It's not there to kind of manage us. It's there so that we can be more autonomous. The more visibility of what we're doing, the more autonomy I as an individual have, because then I can access all the information and the things that I need. We need less direction. We're able to make decisions faster. So a big part of it is just being a lot more visible in our activity. And maybe the last takeaway is maybe it's just, think about what we do, who we talk to, sort of just map out, how do we get in touch with someone when it's urgent? How about when it's not urgent? Just thinking about the methods that we use and maybe changing these when we realize that some of them don't work.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks a lot for this very interesting interview and all the tips you gave in this talk. I hope companies can implement some things you said when they listen closely. I send you many greetings to Australia and have a nice day.
Thanks, Nadine. Thank you very much. And hi to everyone in Europe and hopefully people further afield.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Please subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode. For more information or to connect with Nadine, check out virtualteamheroes.de. We hope to continue to assist your digital journey, and we'll see you on the next episode.